The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio. I'm not Elizabeth. Usually Elizabeth does this part.
I'm Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth had a rough night at the fundraiser, apparently.
A lot of whiskey.
Yeah, Elizabeth. Elizabeth didn't come out good on the other side of the fundraiser. Oh, my gosh. We're joined by Mike Adams this morning from Horse Creek. Horse Creek Mike from the chat room. He came down from Horse Creek for the fundraiser, and we said, hey, why go all the way back? Might as well stay. Elizabeth's got company and stuff, and so she couldn't be here. So it's just Bob, and Mike, and Aaron this morning. Hey, we hope you'll join us on the chat room. Today's going to be interesting, and it'd be a great way to get your questions through would be to put them through the chat room. So wethepeopleradio.us, that's got all the information. And a link button there you can go on, and the chat room opens up. You can send that link to your friends, too. When the show is over, we have done the last two programs. So the last two Sundays have been with Joanne and Jimmy Moriarty. The one, it says they're Sam and Kate, but then, you know, they got busted by the intelligence agencies for using fake names, and they decided just might as well hide right in the open.
They're going to be Will and Grace today.
we rename them every week. So we've been on this series with Libya. We hope you've been enjoying it. And if you've got ideas for programs, you have guests that you think we should have on, you've read books, heard them on the radio, you know, you got a two-minute soundbite on some other show, and you're thinking, what? I want to hear the rest of the story. Please email us. I do a lot of the scheduling, so that's Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us. Elizabeth takes care of a bunch of other stuff. She can also take email. It's Elizabeth with a Z at wethepeopleradio.us. So I think that's all our stuff. Phone number is 530-605-4567. Our guests will be joining us on Skype, so we will have a phone line open. And that's pretty much it. It's all the details. Thank you to everybody who came to the fundraiser last night here in Reading. We've got two shows that broadcast here out of the North Coast. What? Are there any screwing around in the chat room?
IRS is in the chat room.
Nice. I would expect nothing less. Yeah, feel free to use whatever name you want in the chat room. So we decided we'd pay for the whole year of radio and get that off everybody's plate because we're all volunteer hosts. So Sovereign Minds that airs on this station Sunday mornings at 8 with Mark and Linda Kent. That's covered, and We the People Radio is covered, too. So thank you all for pitching in. Okay. Yeah? Did I get everything?
The rest of the evening as outstanding as the first couple of hours? I had to leave to come produce baseball last night.
That's right. You had the ball game. And really, you know, a lot of thanks to Linda and Treva and Joetta and Denise and all the Sally and Terry and all the people who did all the heavy lifting, the big time heavy lifting.
All the Tea Party folks.
All Tea Party folks. And Linda Kent, I guess, was the one who really, you know, drafted most of the grant that we got from Tea Party Patriots. So big thanks to them also for pitching in and helping us cover cost and make sure that, you know, nothing like going into something like that and thinking, oh, what if we lose? You know, what if we lose a bunch of money? That's not good. So they made sure that wasn't going to happen.
I don't think anybody went into last night with that mindset.
No, nobody did. But a couple months ago, you know, it's kind of like, well, we've never done this before. And, you know, huge thanks to Jones Fort. They made sure they had all the guns for the auction and knives. And, you know, I was working, and I don't really know where the rest came from. This is my big contribution, which isn't much. So thank you to all the folks that did that. And thank you to Music by Robert. I almost forgot him.
Yeah,
Music by Robert. He came in and, you know, played all our little theme songs, and Mike Smith, and he did Patriots music. So there was a lot going on. So that was first annual. So next year, we hope that it won't be 100 and whatever ridiculous whatever that was, 118 degrees or some fool thing. So we're looking to move it out of the hell zone when it's you know, a little cooler, and hope more people will come. So
and surprisingly, the meal was quite good.
I know. A lot of times, you know, banquet-type food isn't that great, but Wind River does a great job. So, you know, thanks to everybody who pitched in. It was fantastic. Okay. Huh? To Joanne and Jimmy? What time is it? Where's the clock? Somebody steal the clock?
The clock died.
The clock died. That's awesome. We're in a radio station trying to keep track of what time it is. There's no clock. I didn't even wear a watch. All right. Well, we'll just take a break when you tell us. And other than that, we won't plan anything.
I would recommend you use your smartphone for a clock.
Oh, man. I got the smartphone. I got the computer.
It is 10 minutes past 8 on the West Coast.
I've got the notebook. Oh, Mike's got a watch. Okay, we're good. All right.
All right. And yes, Jimmy and Joe, I understand. Bye.
Right on. Well, we don't know what we're going to hear from these guys this week. We've been on this series about what really went on in Libya. And I would really encourage people to listen to the first two programs, especially since the agencies are listening. So, you know, if we're going to entertain the government, we might as well entertain the people, too. But they were giving us the backstory. They were working in Libya prior to NATO sweeping in to, quote-unquote, help the people. It turns out that was actually sort of a ruse. I guess that's a nice way of putting it. And what was going on in Libya wasn't really what was going on in Libya. Unfortunately, the American public didn't actually learn that until a couple weeks ago. It's amazing, though, how many people I've run into who said, I always thought that was fishy. That seemed weird to me.
Well, you know, we are fed stuff from our government, and we don't have enough information to refute it.
Exactly.
And so we have to accept it, you know.
And then our media is so helpful.
Oh, yeah.
They're super helpful. So, this actually is a place where we can get people on who will tell the truth. And it's up to all of the people listening to actually make sure other people hear that as well. So, Joanne and Jimmy, what is our topic for the day? We heard turkeys having a revolt. We're like, okay, you guys just, you'll have to tell us what we need to know today.
Okay, hi Mike, glad to meet you. We're glad you're a man because we were afraid Elizabeth had way too much cigars and bourbon and debauchery last night. Boy, her voice sounded
well,
bad.
Well, she did.
Why do you think she's not here?
I'm not
exactly.
Going to stand up for
her. We auctioned her off last night. She's at home going, I knew I shouldn't have missed today. Oh, man.
Before we get into the thank you all so much for having us back again.
Yes, thank you so much, Aaron and Mike and Bob.
Last night we were asked to go to Dallas and speak to a bunch of Tea Party types and everything, and they were actually doing a program on the illegality of the IRS. It was really interesting. You need to have all those guys on your show, but that was held in the Fair Park Bible Fellowship Church. And the guy there that has been that pastor forever is a Reverend Stephen Broden. And he's a black minister that went into the worst part of Dallas. It was Drug Central, and built the church. And now that whole area is built up very clean and first class out by Fair Park. And he ran for congressman in the 30th district. The gal that had been there forever, she's a nice enough lady, just never did anything. And he was literally destroyed and crucified by the press in Dallas, Dallas Morning News and all those people. And his congregation went from about 3,000 down to 30. This is a real good, fine man, God-fearing, you know, broke our heart.
Conservative,
you know, pro-life. He's just a good man. And, it's terrible, you know, that the liberal media doesn't ever tell us the truth in the first place. And then if somebody goes against one of theirs, they destroy him. And unfortunately, the people here have become accustomed to believing those lies. And, you know, when you've got 100 to 1, then the lie's told enough, it becomes the truth. But I just want to tell you all, he's a good man. Y'all should talk to him. They were real nice folks over there, and they're real eye-opening about how illegal the IRS is.
They had an ex-IRS investigative agent. They also had another guy. They're real people, but the end result was we learned that the IRS is a scam.
No.
Honest to God, they have no regulation in place to take our money from income.
But, you know, I want to.
And everybody likes them so much. They're so popular right now.
Right.
the thing that we didn't cover much, and I want you all, want your audience to understand this, about the second week of this revolution in Libya, which we knew never was a revolution, these guys, these Al-Qaeda types, came out and declared that they were going to cleanse Libya of all the blacks. And then we heard during the whole time that war was going on that Gaddafi was bringing in mercenaries from Africa, these black mercenaries, and that just was not true. Libya was 30 to 35% black. They were real Libyan citizens. They had Libyan passports, and Libya was kind of a colorblind country. You could see these beautiful rainbow of colors in every family, and you know, blacks with white wives. Blacks, whites, beige, everything mixed. And we really liked that because it was the first time we'd been in a country where you really didn't have these big racial conflicts going on all the time. And when these Al-Qaeda types stepped in there and said they were going to cleanse the country of all the blacks, and they tried. About 40% of all the blacks, all the people were murdered were blacks. And there are mass graves full of black bodies. Whenever they would capture a bunch of Libyan soldiers, they would shoot the beige guys in the back of the head, and they would chop the black guys up, chop their heads off, cut their arms and legs off, burn their bodies, and then traipse, carry those body parts all around, you know, as some kind of trophies. And the genocide of the blacks in Libya is another one of these just horrendous, horrible things that nobody's mentioned, and Joanne and I tried to get the black leaders in this country to do something about it. We went to Louis Farrakhan's office. He'd been to Libya a bunch of times. Gaddafi donated personally to Farrakhan 2 times, lots and lots and lots of millions, you know. And other black leaders, we couldn't get anybody. We couldn't get any traction at all. And I think the reason is there are so many agencies and so many businesses and everybody that are afraid of the government, and nobody pushes back, and they don't push back, and then these things are allowed to continue and fester. And inside the United States, we look at ourselves as really knights in shining armor with white hats, you know. We're the guys doing the good things. But the truth is, what is being done by the, not the people, but by the leaders is just unacceptable. And the thing that we've tried to do since day one in this conflict and ever since then is let the world know and our government that we've been wrong-footed in supporting these, radical Islamist, psychopaths that kill everybody in sight. And, you know, we have always tried to do that. We've tried to let everybody know that Al-Qaeda, Ansar al-Sharia, Muslim Brotherhood, all these guys are very dangerous to the world. And in for our efforts, you know, we've been targeted. And, you know, the thing that we all need to do is, I've said many times on your program, we need to join hands.
Yep. That's the answer.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But I wanted to say that the thing about Libya is the reason that the U.S. joined hands with Al-Qaeda, if you will, and brought in Abdel Hakim Belhaj, who was in Guantanamo, was killing our soldiers in Afghanistan. People like Al-Hasidi, like Sufian Gamo, who was bin Laden's driver, now all in charge in Libya. The reason they joined hands with those people and brought in a couple hundred thousand of these type of people from all over the Middle East and Afghanistan and everywhere is because the Libyan people were not behind the revolution. They didn't want a revolution. So in order to take over the country, they had to filter in all these despot or mercenaries or whatever it is to take over the country. So now you have Abdel Hakim Belhaj running the military, running the security in Libya. Of course, there's no government. The government is, if you will, a puppet government. It is held at gunpoint. For whatever laws they make, they're made at gunpoint. And they run and hide. They go from hotel to hotel and town to town. They rarely meet, and if they meet in private, because I'm talking about the government that this government is touting as a democracy. There is no democracy in Libya. There's complete anarchy. So what happened there is that these radical groups now control the country, and they roam around. They have these militias that roam around and steal, or they have checkpoints it's a complete, there's no security for any human being in Libya at this point. And what's happening now, of course, over the past 2 years, there's 2 million in exile because they can't live there. They would be killed. The 3 million that are left, most of them hide or don't even come out of their houses except to go get food. What's happening now is the tribes of Libya have put together a force, if you will, but more of a group. It's not really an army. It's more like a group of all the tribes, and they are making their best effort to bring peace back to their country by slowly infusing or pushing out these bad guys through the tribal system. And they've started doing that, and we're absolutely hoping that the world will support them. Their one request to the United States government is to just please stay out of our country, and we'll take care of it ourselves.
Stop
supporting these bad guys. Stop sending them weapons. Stop giving them money. It's all coming in through Qatar. Just stop it, please, and we'll take care of our country. And once we take care of our country, we will join hands with the tribes of Afghanistan, the tribes of Egypt, the tribes of Algeria. All the tribes know each other anyway, but we will join hands with them, and we will wipe the world of all these psychopaths. That has fallen on deaf ears here. There's been no response for that. That was an official notice to the U.S. government from the tribes of Libya.
Well, you know, it's asking the U.S. government to stay out of other people's business is kind of like asking an alcoholic not to have one more. You know, it's our track record on interference with governments has been abysmal. I mean, it's worse than the government's attempt to back solar panel companies, you know.
Yeah, we picked those well too.
Yeah, we're soft imperialism, if you will. Our we're hidden imperialism. We go in there, be under the backstop of NATO or the rebel force or whatever. That's our front. Well, we go in there and absolutely wipe out whoever we don't like.
Well, the track record is there, you know. Iran, yeah. Iraq, you know, and Libya.
Well, they're working on Syria now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
and
you know, the second part of that sin is that we're not taking over those countries for the benefit of the people of the United States. It's for the people in the war business, the people, the big businesses that go in there and exploit, and the bankers, especially, that exploit those countries, you know. And it's our fortune, it's our men, it's our treasure that's spilled, and the benefit never goes back the people of the United States. So, you know, if we were this big monstrous war machine and we were taking over the world, you know, that might be one thing. But the people that are funding this I'm going to call it an illegitimate government now, because they've shredded our Constitution. Well, it's terrible. It's break time.
And that's what makes them love us so much. Look at you. Look at you. look at you reading our minds. I love it when the guests organize the breaks. It's so much easier. So much less pressure on us.
I have a clock.
Oh. Yeah, well, go ahead and flaunt that, yeah. Huh, buddy? Thanks a lot. Bring you on. Now you're all bossing us around.
It's on Southern time.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We're going to be back with you in 2 minutes. We're talking to Joanne and Jimmy Moriarty. And we're talking about Libya and stuff that's going on that you need to know about. So join with us, WeThePeopleRadio.us. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
You have to sing along, Mike. If you sit in the other chair, you're going to sing.
You don't want me to sing. You'll pay me not to sing.
Please don't sing. We're winging it here without Elizabeth this morning. So you're joining Aaron, Mike, Bob here in studio. And we've got Jimmy and Joanne on Skype. Skype has become a really valuable ally here at the radio station. really like these Skype little Skype conferences.
There really is. We brought the baseball game in via Skype from Arcata last night, and it sounded like they were in the next studio.
Usually we have this phone thing, and it's all crackly, and you know, phone stuff, and
really since, amazing technology.
Exactly. Well, since Joanne and Jimmy get to spend so much time wrangling with the underworld of our government, their phones are a little bit dicey. Like every time we talk, we get disconnected.
Well, like the NSA isn't getting a good picture of the Skype call.
Yeah, but they're the only branch of government that actually listens. So you know, don't cap on them. They're here to make us feel better. They're there to listen.
What can I say?
Hey, Bob, that drone's outside your window again.
I put the Don't Tread on Me flag with the American flag on the front of my house so they wouldn't accidentally drone my neighbors. I saw a guy standing out in front of the house yesterday staring at it, and I was like, buddy, you have no idea. That's probably not good for you. It was pretty funny. I think I need to have a little, you know, like when the house is for sale and they've got the little pamphlets in the box. I think they need to have them out front about what the Don't Tread on Me flag is so they don't have to stand there and stare at it so long. people. All right. So in today's, you know, like right now, what's happening now? We're seeing all this uprising and stuff. You guys going to give us some back channel on that, or how did that ever turn out?
I'm going to give you all credit because
really?
Coincidental with this show starting today, they had several million Egyptians they started their uprising today, another one in Tunis. The Egyptians told the Muslim Brotherhood government there that there are so many of them and they're so tired of their country being destroyed. They've lost their tourism. They've lost, you know, Egypt's only commodity was their tourism, and they had, I don't know how many millions a year, 20 million or 30 million people a year went to Egypt, and now nobody goes. And so the poverty in that country has been exacerbated by this Muslim Brotherhood bunch, and they're having an uprising that started at 10 o'clock Texas this time with millions in the street, and I think the impact came from your radio.
And we called that one, didn't
Tunis,
we?
Well, yeah, I'm giving you credit.
Yeah,
for it, you know,
you heard it here first.
The spring is sprung.
Yeah, and in
you'll see millions gathered.
You'll see millions.
This is on Drudge right now.
Yeah,
it says there's tens of thousands of opponents of Egypt's Islamist president in Cairo's Tahrir Square, launching an all-out push to force Mohamed Morsi from office on the one-year anniversary of his inauguration.
Oh, it's actually millions.
Yeah, they're
millions.
Millions. And this same thing is happening in Tunis. And all these countries that have been fed this phony democracy, you know, have been suffering so much, and they've had their fill of it. And Qatar was trying to take over Tunisia with the blessings of this fool bunch that own NATO, you know. And the people in Tunisia told him, don't come back, period. And they've had an uprising starting in Tunisia also today.
It started last week.
Yeah, it started last week. The tribes of Libya have gone in to try to bring some kind of peace back to their country where their people can have a life, because there is no life in Libya. It's complete anarchy, and we still are not seeing that. The human rights group did make some statements about the genocide of blacks in Libya and the ungodly treatment of the prisoners, and that there should be no... They've asked this phony government in Libya to stop torturing people in Libya just because they were part of the last regime.
Uh-huh.
And retaliation, all this stuff. And you know, the human rights entities all have so much power. And, of course, they're asking Al-Qaeda to stop torturing, killing people. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
You're right. That's like asking the guy not take one more drink that's an alcoholic.
How unreasonable is that? Don't torture our people?
Yeah. Well, this great democracy, you know, if you were in the last regime, even if you supported the last regime, which was about 90% of the Libyans, you are going to go to prison, probably be tortured to death, or you're going to be thrown out of the country. So they're effectively getting rid of everybody, if they can. People all have to bow their head and hide now.
Well, you know, the Egyptians, well, I was going to ask you, you know, the Egyptians, did, you know, how big a role did we play in delivering them? And what were the Libyans saying about that? Or, you know, are they all kind of keeping track and going, oh, no, you guys next? Did they help each other?
Yeah, Tunisia and Egypt were the prelude. They were staged. There was never any Arab Spring, ever. Not ever. And those two were staged so that there could be a free influx of Al-Qaeda types from mercenaries from all over the world into Libya. Libya was the prize. Tunisia didn't have much money. Egypt, of course, is a poor country.
But it opened the borders on both sides so they could bring their mercenaries in.
They had Misrata to come in through the water, and then they had Tunisia and Egypt. And those were both staged in order to take over Libya. And, you know, you get back, well, how could that be? Well, you have to look at the banks and these paper bankers that have destroyed our currency and are printing this fiat paper constantly, you know, a gold-backed currency for the continent of Africa would have become overnight the favored currency for the world. And that would have destroyed the Rothschild Group completely, would have killed the Fed, would have killed Euroclear, would have killed all these central banks in the world owned by the Rothschild Group that only print paper. And the nasty game they play is that, you know, like citizens in the United States, Federal Reserve is a private entity, doesn't have anything to do with the government. They have the exclusive right to print the money. And all the tax the people pay, 100% of the tax, income tax, pays nothing but the interest on the debt to the Fed. And we shouldn't stand for that. But these bankers are so powerful, and they own everybody. And so here was this Gaddafi character that had organized this gold-backed dinar that was going to, he was playing in their game. They own the board, and he was going to start a gold-backed currency and destroy their some thousands of years' work. No, they couldn't let it happen.
No, he wasn't out. He didn't, I don't believe he started that to destroy them. He started that to free Africa of the imperialist people that were there in every country, exploiting every single resource and giving very little back to the country. Africa is, you know, it needs a lot of help with education and food and money, and they need to learn how to support themselves. And Libya was leading that charge. It was going to, the gold-backed currency was going to free Africa from the need for all this aid. It was going to make them self-supporting, and that was a real threat because all the resources there, according to, you know, the way the Rothschilds look at it, or whoever be in charge, that all those resources belong to them. Well, so it was not acceptable.
Yeah, there went Agenda 21. If they're not beholden to the World Bank, they don't have to follow the UN's agenda.
You got
exactly
it.
They can drag themselves out of poverty.
That's right.
Libya had no debt of any kind.
They spent half of the money they took in every year while bringing the standard of living of those people up to the top in Africa, higher than China, higher than India, and people had a great life there.
Educated,
you know,
more educated than almost as the United States.
There's a lot of conservatives saying,
no.
Well, hell, that sounds a whole lot like socialism, you know, that free medicine and this. Well, the difference is, in Libya, the profit that the government made, they participated out with the people. They weren't, Libya was not taking money out of your pocket and giving it to the next door neighbor. No. They were taking money that the government was earning from their natural resources and participating the people in those resources. Hell of a lot of difference in them spending government money and not spending your money. So the Libyan government was not getting in the pocket of their people.
There's no tax in Libya.
So, you know, that can't happen because that makes socialism, if you would, have a different complexion. And the biggest difference is socialism as we see it, where it's a real nasty thing, is when the government takes the money out of your pocket and puts it in somebody else's.
It's redistribution.
And in Libya, that was not the case. This wealth that the country was receiving from the natural resources were being spread out amongst the people. And so, you know, on that basis, yeah, it's a pretty good idea. And the country was growing, and it was prospering. And
well, Alaska does that, you know. They share their oil revenues.
Here's the other thing about Libya. Before the government ever signed a contract to do anything, the law required that they had the entire contract amount in the bank, able to pay the contract in full before they ever signed a contract. So they didn't need to go to the World Bank and borrow money. They didn't need the IMF. They didn't need any of the bankers to support or control what they did. That was another unacceptable thing. And so, you know, when Joanne and I were looking at Libya, we were real trepidatious because of all the stories we heard. But the fact that they were a very wealthy nation and they had some laws that really protected everybody, foreigners could become a living entity if you followed their laws real well. And so, as a business opportunity, we were trepidatious, but we were optimistic. And of course, we went in there and we absolutely cut a fat calf. We signed up huge amounts of contracts. And we were so optimistic about it, you know, the problem we never thought, because we're so, I don't know, infantile in our international
naive.
You know, the U.S. had just signed a new treaty with Libya, now Libya was coming back in the fold, and gosh, we never expected that our government was going to go in there and blow that place up.
Yeah, I would imagine that was a real eye-opener, and it's different looking at it from over here, because we didn't have the investment, and you guys had massive investment. Let's come back and catch people up a little bit on that, and of course some other good stuff. But we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. Catch us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. Join us on the chat.
I tell you, it was break time.
You're fired. We're gonna keep Elizabeth, but she's on break today. We'll be back in 2 minutes. KCNR 1460 AM.
Oh, the trouble with the truth is it's always the same old thing. So hard to forget, so impossible for me to change. And every time I try to fight it, I know I'll be left to blame. Oh, the trouble with the truth is it's always the same old thing.
Lies, lies, I can't believe a word you say. Lies, lies, are gonna make you sad someday.
Are there about lies? This is great.
Oh, we could do a whole show on that.
Got serious grist for the mill here. Another song about lies. Hey, you're joining We the People Radio, where we don't lie, but we talk about them a lot. You know, people are like, "Oh, is it? Do you like doing radio?" I was like, "Well, it was never really a goal, but I'll tell you what. Every Sunday morning, you spend 2 hours, you know." Talking smack about the government.
fell in a hole and you can't dig yourself out.
And you got a whole lot of people that are going, yeah, us too. It's like, that's good. That's an awesome thing. So we're glad Carl and Linda Bott had the idea for the program. So we hope we are doing them proud. Joanne and Jimmy, I was just looking online and, you know, poor Mr. Morsi, you know what's going on in Egypt right now? He has tolerated these people who are being subversive and who are going against the constitution of Egypt. He's tried to deal with them for a year. He's been very patient, but now he's going to have to really crack down. This is a New York Times article. If you guys want to have some fun, look up Egypt Revolution and click on the New York Times article. You know, he, in his speech, it says here, he went after several individuals he said had broken laws and undermined the state. Yeah, so really, he sounds like a pretty good guy. I think he's really trying.
He's a great guy.
He
tried to throw out the Constitution. He's a extremist to the nth degree. He's a Muslim Brotherhood, and you know, Muslim Brotherhood is Al-Qaeda types, if you want to use that term, or extremist Muslims or jihadists or whatever term you want to use. They want to put Sharia law in Egypt. They want to, actually, that will ruin that country because the whole economy of that country is built on tourism. Who wants to go visit a country where you have to wear a veil?
And you don't get an adult beverage.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Go out in the desert looking at a bunch of those pointy buildings. It's hot. You need an adult beverage after you do that. Ride a camel for 6 hours like we did one time. Well, not only do you end up with scrambled eggs and things like that, but you need an adult beverage.
Well, all that sand, too, you need bikinis.
That's right.
People are like, for Lord's sake, it's Sunday morning. What's wrong with these people? we've tapped into the, well, we've know, tapped into the bar crowd.
Joanne and I are officially homeless after today. I cut off a couple of sticks off a tree out in the back, and we're going to the thrift store and buying some big red bandanas, and we're going to be traveling the country. We're going to be riding the rails. So, you know, the government's been very successful in attacking us financially. And I'll get into our business because, you know, it's impossible for anybody to see the success we had and see us go from in a real strong position to absolutely $600,000 in debt, and nobody wants to talk to us anymore. And when we went into Libya, it had just opened up. The Treaty of 2006 was signed. We were the first non-government-sponsored business to go into Libya, and that was in January of 2007. And the first trip in there, we sold $1 billion worth of our products. And, of course, did not have the production to match that, and we struggled trying to get the right partner there, et cetera. And long and short, over 4 years, we sold another $4 billion worth of our products, which rejuvenate oil wells and clean up pipelines and sludge pits and diesel spills and oil spills and all these environmental remediation activities that we proved we could do forever. We did testing at Superfund sites here in the United States, proved we could clean that up, proved that we could clean up the naval fueling station up in New England, did a lot of things, but the environmentalists until recently have all had that disease of deep pockets and short arms. Nobody wanted to pay to clean up anything. We could clean it up, but they couldn't pay for it, you know. So Libya was a real good business decision for us. And we had levered all of our money, all of our profit that we'd made for 10 years back into our business because we were competing with Halliburton, Schlumberger, and those monsters. And here we are, a little company. And so we had to be smarter. We had to be, operate tighter than anybody else did. And so we were doing a good job. And we got great support in Libya because they needed everything we built, we made. And we never, ever envisioned problems from our government. And so we took in feedstock, materials to build the plant, all these things. And that entered into Libya about 2 weeks after the war started. It was 45 days on the water. All that disappeared. So we, in effect, lost our business over the conflict. But we continued to move forward because we knew the Libyan people would never, there was no popular uprising. They would never allow this to happen. You know, there may be 5, maybe 10% at the maximum that were against the government. Well, you know, if you took 10% of people in the United States didn't like the government, you overthrew the government for that, I'm ready to sign up for that deal. But, you know, in Libya, it was just a shock, and the people in Libya couldn't believe it. And they're so innocent over there, they believed that the truth and their God would save them. And so, you know, we stayed in the hunt with those guys and tried to help them through it, obviously, because we had a huge business opportunity there. But after the business opportunity was gone, we stayed with them. We tried to get their story out because there was a huge wrong being done. The blacks were being killed because they were black. The lies were being told is that they were mercenaries from Africa that Gaddafi brought in. That wasn't true. The people in Libya were being tortured. Their daughters were being raped and killed, and the people were being tortured. You know, all this under the auspices of and the protecting the innocents and setting up democracy
and
there.
And the theft of four, how much?
$450 billion of money that was in the Federal Reserve and Euroclear in cash and cash equivalents. That money's disappeared. There was $38 billion in cash in the central bank in Tripoli. They had 179 tons of gold, 2,000 tons of silver, a lot of platinum, iridium, rhodium, etc. All that's gone.
All disappeared.
So, whoever in their wisdom decided that they wanted the Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood and Ansar al-Sharia to own that country, you know, also allowed them to take all these riches and all this wealth, allowed them to issue passports, new names, gave the legitimacy to these terrorists, and they're coming into the United States with permanent green cards and multiple entry visas, hundreds of them a month, funded with $4 to $5 million apiece. If the people of the United States do not get concerned about that, then the people of the United States have closed their eyes and the country's gone.
Well, and what you guys had told us before was that the people in Libya were completely, they really underestimated the fact that we had a black president. I can hear everyone out there, half black. But they thought that was going to be a, they're like, no, he won't do
they
that
said,
to us.
Yeah, they thought he
They said they sent $50 million to him. I don't know that. But they said Gaddafi supporting, they were so proud of him.
He was an
they
African.
Were so happy. And they all said, you know, he's a Muslim. He's allowed to say he's a Christian because the Muslim religion allows that. Because an infidel is like a dog. You can kick your dog, lie to your dog. But they said he's a Muslim, and we're so proud of him. We're so happy about it, you know.
Oops.
Libyans don't have that same story.
Now they're as happy as we are.
A native-born Kenyan, yeah.
the thing is, it's real sad, and we see every day. We wake up and wonder what the government's going to do to us next. And, you know, what's affected us, what's affected Joanne and myself, was out of the scope of any possibility we ever foresaw. And, you know, if it can happen to us and we're good God-fearing people, we never did anything wrong, you know, everybody we did business we were straight up with.
Well, we did do something wrong. We witnessed war crimes.
That's true.
Off the scale of beyond World War II. Way beyond. Well, that's not acceptable. You know, if you witness a crime, the person who committed the crime doesn't want you to talk about it. For sure, they would really rather you just went, you know, died or went away. But for us, it wasn't that we wanted to talk about it and cause anybody distress, the people who've done it. It was the fact that, you know, you can't do these kind of things and completely have the planet blown up in places where the other part of the planet is being fine. We're all tied together. You can't kill 500,000 innocent people and walk away and say, now there's democracy there. We put it, you know, the people of Libya put it in place. That was a complete lie. So we needed to tell what we thought was our people in Congress. We thought the people in Congress were completely blindsided. They didn't really know what was going on in Libya, and it turns out they really don't want to hear anything. They're not interested, and when the more we talked about it, the more we got targeted. The intelligence people showed up in our home and threatened us. They took all our information and said, you know, you need to forget about this. Don't ever talk about it. And they destroyed our lives. They ruined us financially. They took away all our network. Our network people will not talk to us anymore.
What does that mean?
No business.
Your whole business,
you know,
network.
People that knew us forever, we had a real close friend, one of our 25-year longtime friends in Kuwait. He's about fourth echelon royal family. We had a joint venture with one of the princes over there. They stopped talking to us for beginning a year ago, January. Couldn't figure out why. Finally, our friend told us a month or so ago that they had been ordered, that we were dangerous people not talk to us. But, you know, I'm gonna tell you about Jimmy and Joanne. We're guilty of witnessing the war crimes and genocide committed by the hired mercenaries of the UN and NATO in Libya. We're guilty of that. We did see those war crimes.
And we have proof.
And we were guilty of being captured by NATO's mercenaries, Al-Qaeda, in Libya, and we were sentenced to death. Yes, we were guilty of that. And God stepped in and saved us with three miracles, and that's absolutely the truth. We're probably guilty of being associated with God, you know. And then,
may we all have that problem.
We are targeted individuals. I didn't even know what a targeted individual was until 3 weeks ago, when one of these threats from one of the government intelligence people told us we're targeted individuals by the U.S. government because we've been speaking about the U.S., UN, and NATO war crimes in Libya. And then we've demanded that the genocide of the blacks by Al-Qaeda in Libya stop. We're guilty of all those really bad things, you know. And the thing that, has caused us to have this financial collapse, depression, you know, we're destitute and all these things, not because of anything wrong we've done, but because we were witnesses to war crimes and we were trying to get our government to stop supporting Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda types. So we're real bad people.
We even got the Blaze to set us up. You know that story.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's take a really quick break, and before the top of the hour, we do want to hear the Blaze story because, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, oh, that's a place where they're never going to lie to us. Well, newsflash. Hey, we'll be back with more. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM. At least you guys will have a theme song when you come out of this deal. Hey, okay, so when you were, you know, when you came back and you started trying to get somebody to listen to the story and what was going on and all that, Glenn Beck's guys, they called you? I forget how that worked out.
Yeah, that was recently. We had joined dialing finger is one digit shorter than when we started this. She called everybody in Washington, D.C. I don't care if they were Democrat, Republican, anybody that had anything to do with intelligence, terrorism, military, security, whatever. And she got proficient at getting through the gatekeeper and talking to somebody that could make a link. Nobody ever called back. We tried the Texas guys. We tried every politician that you can imagine. Called them and called them and called them. Never got any traction.
We knew about the attack on U.S. property 6 weeks before it happened. Yeah. We tried to tell everybody.
But finally, after the ambassador was killed, Dr. Jerome Corsi started writing articles based on information we provided. And a gal named Tara Dahl that worked in Michelle Bachmann's office was her aide. And she started hooking us up with all these intelligence entities. Well, we thought she was trying to do the best for everybody. Well, it turns out all these intelligence guys are nothing but vacuum cleaners, and they were trying to soak up information.
Vacuum cleaner.
And then when about 3 months ago, when everything in Libya blew up, there was no government. It was all anarchy. Then the intelligence entities here in the United States had to try to figure out what the hell was going on over there. So, of course, they called Joanne. And the intelligence agencies wanted to know what was happening inside Libya because they had no intel. The guys that they've been talking to were all Al-Qaeda types.
All right, we're getting cut off by the news. We're going to just call it the news because that's all we got to call it. But we're going to come back with Joanne and Jimmy. We're going to hear the rest of that story. You're listening to We the People here on KCNR, 1460 AM. See you in five.
More where that came from. Hour number two of We the People next here on KCNR Shasta Redding. Stay tuned.
Good morning. We're back with hour two. hopefully everybody's still with us. Nobody's gotten cut off the chat room that we know of. Joanne and Jimmy, you still out there?
We're still here.
Right on. Okay, so nobody got ripped out of their shoes during the big news break.
No, but there was a helicopter that went over and hovered over our house for a long time.
Nice.
Just as long as it didn't shoot any missiles, you're good.
Did it drop leaflets that said, "Get off We the People Radio, stop talking about Libya"?
No, but my hair and Joanne's hair standing straight up. They must have electrified us.
little EMP, little pulse, yeah. Or
well,
some.
There you go.
You know,
one thing we never did mention was that NATO did drop leaflets all over Tripoli, all over Libya.
They did?
Oh yeah, we have copies of them. We have actually some of the real ones, and they said, "Forget your country, join your rebel brothers.
Get out."
No, absolutely, written in Arabic.
Can you guys get? Are you kidding?
No.
All the protest 100%. Signs were in English, but the flyers were in Arabic. That was good thinking there.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't want the mainstream media. You know, it's interesting because I never really thought about that, but it did seem weird that the protest signs were all in English. And
anytime you see that, there's some three-letter guy that wrote those signs.
Isn't that crazy? But the leaflets are in Arabic so that the people can read those.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
They brought them to us. All the Libyan people kept bringing them to us.
But, you know, the people here have been dumbed down so much that we just accept that. Well, sure, a country that doesn't speak anything but Arabic is going to write their protest signs in English. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And nobody questions it. Nobody says, you know, what's the deal? So, you know, the sad fact is that the people here have been dumbed down intentionally by our media, and God bless you all for putting out the truth. You know, it's frustrating for us because we were business people. We were never media people. And when we tried to convince the Libyans to get on an offensive in the media, they said, no, we don't do that. You know, we do what's inside our own country. They're really isolationists, you know. And so, you know, we couldn't talk them into it. So Joanne and I took it upon ourselves to start a media campaign for them, funded by ourselves. And we were successful in getting 275 million people in 60 countries and translated into nine languages. We were very successful in getting those 38 videos, which were horrendous, real damning to the UN and NATO, and to show what had happened in Libya. But, you know, that came for naught because the people that saw it, obviously, were getting, for everything they saw from us, they got 10 lies from the media. And so it's you know, it's frustrating.
What happened to us, I was going to tell you the story of the blaze. After we started with Tara Dahl, this person from Michelle Bachmann's office, she put us in touch with a policeman out in California who was with the Terrorist Task Force with the FBI. He was real interested in talking to us, but he said since we've never been debriefed, because we were captured by Al-Qaeda, the U.S. government should have debriefed us. He put us in touch with the DOD, the Department of Defense Intelligence, and they sent a man to our house who debriefed us and took all our information and got Al-Qaeda coordinates from us and all kinds of stuff. He's been in our house a number of times.
Now, then, we, Joanne and I, innocent fools that we were, thought they were really interested in getting information. They're going to do something with it. We didn't know that they were here to hoover up all of our information, find out how damaging we could be to them.
Yeah, you thought they cared.
Yeah. Boy, are we dumb, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's and that's something that most people don't realize. You know, like when you went to them about the Benghazi thing, and here they're having all these hearings, and who knew what when. Well, the real question is, what were you doing with the information, six weeks before you went to them?
Yeah, that's why my dialing finger is so short, because I tried so much to call them, you know. But in what happened, this guy came to our house, and then we were contacted. Tara Dahl called me, and she said, "I know a guy named Joe Weasel. He's the main producer for the Blaze.
That should have been a clue.
I know.
I should have known that. I asked him why he didn't change his name.
Jimmy the Snake was already taken.
Yeah.
He called us, talked to us for a while, and he said, "Your story needs to be told." He said, "We would like to do a documentary, maybe a two-hour documentary on you. We'd like to come to your home with our film crew. We'd like to see your documentation. We'd like to interview you and probably put you on with Glenn Beck, and he was real excited. That was 2 weeks out. That's fine. He called the next day and said, we're going to be there in 3 days. And because of your situation, we're going to bring our person that will arrange security for you and Jimmy.
And our film crews, and we're going to air this thing on the 18th of June.
That's what he told us.
Okay.
So they show up in 3 days.
Without film crew.
Without film crew. There's three from the Blaze and one, this woman named Nikki, who they said was their security person.
Top, real conscientious, the best they
knew. Been with high intelligence, they wouldn't tell us exactly who she was. So they sat for 6 hours, they taped everything we said, they took 25 gigabytes of our information because they said we'll be back on, this was on Monday, that we'll be back on Thursday.
They need to go through our information and find out what they're going to use in the documentary. Now then, weren't going to pay us anything for that, but with a documentary in hand, we could go around and show the documentary and hopefully get some speaking engagements for honorariums and stuff so we could afford to pay attention.
So they left. The Nikki person told us before she left that we were absolutely 100% real. She's interrogated a lot of people. Our story is real. She's going to take us under her wing. She will protect us. She will set up private communications with us. We're basically in her family now and all kinds of stuff. So they left. We never heard from them again.
They're going to be back on Thursday. Wednesday night, they had called us, tell us what time or anything, and Joanne started calling them, and nobody answered. And finally, Joanne gets a call back.
Yeah, I got a call back from Nikki telling me that because we'd been talking to intelligence agencies in the past, which they knew about before they ever came here, she had kiboshed the whole show. She said, I've killed it. I'm not going to have them do the show because you've talked to intelligence agencies. I said, you knew that before you came, and she said, you need to understand that you need to forget Libya. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You need to start your life over. And Jimmy was trying to talk. She told him to stand down. She said, you stand down.
I don't take orders very well, you know. And she was saying, you need to forget about Libya. You need to start your life over today. Do you understand me? And I said, you know, that sounded like a threat. She said, I'm telling you. You need to forget about Libya. And I said, that's all we got left is our story about Libya. Well, you can talk about your escape from Al-Qaeda, but that's all. But you need to start your life over. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
And what we told her was we gave some private information to the Blaze that we want back, and we want a document from them saying they're not going to pass it to anybody. It's our videos, our private information. She said, well, I can arrange that. She said, we told them that she was not privy to the conversation we had with Joe Weasel.
Several of them, not just one.
And we told her, I said, you don't understand what he told us. She said, you need to forget that conversation.
You never had that conversation.
So much for truth, justice, and the American way, huh?
Exactly. Never been able to speak to the Blaze again. They do not answer the phone. If I call them, she calls me and tells me to knock it off.
Wow.
We did not get our documents back. We got a copy of them and no letter.
Now, they recorded us for 6 hours. That recording he downloaded onto his computer. One of their production guys, our 25 gigabytes of confidential information they stole from us, went onto their computer. And she said, they're going to give you the hard drive out of the computer back, and they're going to issue the letter. We got back an external drive.
With a copy.
We didn't get any letter. We didn't get the recording. And so what we had to understand at that point in time is when we had shut off these other intelligence agencies, because we said, if you're not going to do anything with this information, we're not going to have the Libyan tribes risk their lives to go out and get you this information on Al-Qaeda and the Ansar al-Sharia if you're not going to do anything with it. Because they told us, they said, it goes up the top and it's blocked.
What was interesting was when this happened, I thought Tara Dahl, who worked for Michelle Bachmann, would be shocked that the Blaze came in here and did this to us. I called her. The guy from the Blaze said he knew her real well. They traveled to Egypt together. She told me she never met the guy. And so I called her and I said, Tara, these people, I said they absolutely came in here. It was a conspiracy to get all our stuff. And I said, they said they knew you real well. She said, well, I'm sorry, I can't comment on that. And that was the end of communication with her. So I called the guy in California who was supposedly knew him too. And when I told him, I said, this Nikki person says she knows you real well. He says, well, I don't know her. And that was the end of conversation with him. None of them talked to us anymore.
Wow.
So it was a collusion of all these intelligence agencies that had been coming into our house. Every one of them lying like a rug. And the only thing they were ever interested in was finding out how much damage we could do to the folks here.
The one guy who came here the most told us that the reason our story is being discounted by the intelligence people is because we use the term Al-Qaeda. He said, do you realize there's only 75 card-carrying members of Al-Qaeda in the world? I said, wait a minute. I said, all the people in Libya, all these radical extremists, he says, now if you say radical Muslim extremists, then you have some credibility.
But what I asked him, he said there's only 75 Al-Qaeda in the
Weasel.
World.
I know.
And I said, you mean that's all the budget the CIA has for their Al-Qaeda?
And they were like, you know what, now you're really pissing me off.
Well, I want to tell you what this guy's name is. And he asked us not, he gave us a phony name, Kevin somebody. His name is Eric Maddox. You can go look him up on the internet. And he's supposedly their top intelligence or interrogation officer.
He's the guy supposedly down Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, they've done a book and a movie about him and everything. And we found out his real name because a flyer came in the mail.
With his
he was giving a speech at a church. And that church was going to help us. They had some people in the oil business. They were interested. They were going to help us with rent and a lot of things. He shows up, gives a speech, and now that Baptist church, Crossroads Baptist Church, won't talk to us again.
They won't talk to you again?
No, ma'am.
So
the fact that I keep calling you back
really makes us special.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
So we're like the only ones who call you back?
Yeah.
So we're either super smart or we're the biggest idiots out there.
Yeah, the people that call us back, I'm going to tell you something.
We took a vote. We're super smart, actually.
Just call me Tarjay.
The people that call us back are brokes.
What?
People that ain't money. They'll talk to us. But anybody that's trying to protect their position or their whatever, they won't talk to us.
Aaron?
See, we're just regular people. Imagine that.
Are you going to have a break here shortly?
Oh.
Yeah.
This stupid break. You know, you take away the clock. I really have no concept of time. I would have been a good, you know, Hawaiian anyway.
After the break, I'd like to bring on our tribal leader, if I could, please.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure what our plan was there. Well, good. I'm glad we got the Blaze thing sorted out because, honestly, people really have to look at all their sources. There is no silver bullet in this deal, and except for this show right here. That's the silver bullet. But the other ones, they can be bought and sold by people with the last name Weasel.
and I, you know, what Dr. Carson told me is he said, you have to realize that a lot of these people are compromised. That was the term he used.
Do you think?
Yeah. Do you think?
I want you all to, any question you all got from your audience, anybody, ask Mufta. You know, he's a great guy. He's a truth teller. And ask him about what is going on in Libya. You know, I would like you all to find out about Libya before and Libya now from the horse's mouth, if you would. You know, I'm considered the other end of the horse, but
who are you talking about?
Mufta.
Mufta.
Okay. You all laugh way too fast when I say things.
We do too. We're like eager for fun. That's probably why the agency guys don't like us. They're repulsed by our humor. All right, we're going to take a quick break so we don't wind up.
Get it.
Yeah, that's probably true, too. There's a lot to be said for that. We're going to add, as things go, guys, just so you're aware, we're going to add these things to the website so that the page for today is correct. We were kind of flying by the seat of our pants on this one. We're coming back. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM. Here comes my favorite song. Listen to the words. We can hear you. Hey guys, you're back with We the People Radio. We're all sharing a phone line, so if you hear talking during the music or whatever, Joanne and Jimmy on Skype are sharing the phone line with the kind of with the station. So none of us wind up actually getting muted. So I just thought I'd give you that little FYI. Good thing you didn't say anything, you know. Like, wow, it's a good thing we worked on our story. Jimmy the Weasel, that was a good idea. I can't believe that. I can't get over the Weasel guy. That just kills me. Besides the fact we were making jokes about Anthony Weiner in the chat room and his potential running mate, Eric Holder. That was
Jimmy, we're never doing business with anybody with bad names ever again.
Exactly. There's a lot to be said for that.
All right, so, and Mike and Bob, Joanne has added Mufta on the phone. He's one of the tribal leaders from Libya. And God bless you, Mufta. How are you doing?
Yes, thank you so much. You are welcome.
So good to hear your voice again. People really enjoyed last week. It took them a little while to actually understand what you were saying. So for the folks that have not heard last week's program, you should. So, yeah. You know, as Jimmy so aptly put it, here is the horse's mouth, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Have to explain that to Mufta later.
He understands. Mufta?
Yes.
Can you explain to the people how it was different in Libya before the revolution and what it is like now?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Let us start up to, as I told you last week, in the last interview with you, before 2011, and exactly for 42 years, Libyan people was living insecure and safe, and prosperity, and the living for all the people living in spaces.
Uh-oh, we have too many people on the line all of a sudden.
No, I think those are in the background, maybe where Mufta is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the social welfare has been guaranteed and secure, as I said. But after 2011, exactly after August 2011, everything in our country has been changed up down. During the militias and extremist groups came in and made control for the capital, Tripoli, especially Abdul Hakim Belhaj, Qadir Sharif, and all the names I mentioned in last interview. And all of them were members of Al-Qaeda and extremist group. Libyan people and Libyan community, all of them Muslim and Sunni, and all of them hated extremists and Islamist groups. And all of them believed on other religions, beloved other religions. All of people, our countries and our government allowed
better.
To us and guaranteed for education for all of us. The population of our country is 5.5 million. And after August 2011, everything has been changed. Now there is no secure, there is no safe, nobody... save him, his or himself. Now the situation and the economic situation is so bad. All the people now living in a dangerous station, especially after 6-7 o'clock by local time, that means at the night, nobody can move, nobody can travel, nobody can leave his home or his place open because there is no safe. There is no security, there is no police, there is no military army, government army. There is no any kind of security, you know. That is why the 5 million people in Libya, almost of them, the majority of Libyan has been exiled and emigrated out in Tunisia, Algeria, Niger, and Egypt. And they were living in bad situation. The rest of them living inside under the treatment of Al-Qaeda and extremist groups. From 2 days, they are big trouble and strong fighting between two, three militias by leadership of Musrata militias and extremist Islamist groups against the Talib tribe. You know, and they fight in Tripoli. They burned all the places, all government offices, all police offices, That is the problem now. And there is no military, there is no police office, there is no any kind of government, you know. There is no country, there is no state, there is no government. Nobody can make control. Last day, Minister of Defense announced he's retired and he left his job. And last night, as well, militias announced to make control for Tripoli extremist groups, which supported by France, Qatar, Turkey, and the United States of America. That is why, especially today, you know, today a lot of peaceful demonstration in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia, against Muslims Brotherhood and extremist groups. Now all the people feel that suffered from the militia and extremist groups, you know, as government in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia as well. Made control by extremist group and Muslims Brotherhood. And this is, not Islam, there is no related between Islam and Muslims Brotherhood. Just as called their senses, Muslims Brotherhood. There is no Islam between these groups. They did not recognize by Islam and by Islam religion and by Christian religion. You know, yesterday they started to kill the Christian people in Damascus, in Syria. Yesterday they started to kill any Christian person in Damascus. This is my friend phoned me now from a few minutes and he told me that. And they have been threatened, all Christian people and the church in Damascus. They tried yesterday to destroy the church, the place in Damascus, capital of Syria.
And yet, aren't we sending, and then is the U.S. getting involved in that? Because I have a note here that there's a potential that the U.S. is sending Marines into Egypt to help the Muslim Brotherhood.
No.
Are they doing that?
No, they lie. They're doing. Still doing this. Obama and his administration helped and supported Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia. This is our problem and our big trouble and our big problem which face us now. Only just when they announced that Obama and your administration announced they will leave the Muslim Brotherhood, we will clean our countries from them. Be sure from that.
But Mufta, let me help clarify.
Yeah.
What's on the news over here is that the United States is planning to send Marines into Egypt. Are you telling us that the Marines are already there and have been there all along?
No, there is nothing on the ground, you know. And today, the big trouble in Egypt, in Cairo, and all the cities against Muslims Brotherhood, all the people against them. There is many demonstrations there, peaceful demonstrations. And the Muslims Brotherhood, they announced already last night and today morning, they will against the people, civilian people, you know. And they threatened civilian people and the demonstration. Demonstrators, peaceful people.
But Mufta, is this not the way they've always operated? Like in Syria, you mentioned, that's Muslim Brotherhood, that's Al-Qaeda types, are now killing Christians in Syria. It's not the Syrian government, it's Muslim Brotherhood. It's the rebels that are killing the Christians in Syria, is that correct?
Yes. The rebel is supported by Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood in Syria.
And the
rebel
the same
is in
thing,
Syria. Yes.
In Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood is now attacking or going after these peaceful demonstrators in Egypt that are tired of the oppression. Is that correct?
Yes.
In Tunisia, are they not also having uprisings in Tunisia, and the Muslim Brotherhood over there is trying to stop them?
There is only, you know, another in Tunisia. Another, the same Muslim Brotherhood in Tunisia, you know. Another. All of them kind of Muslim Brotherhood and extremist groups. Another, Al-Tahrir, Ansar al-Sharia, Jabhat al-Nusra, Muslims, all of them kind of Muslim Brotherhood and against even the Muslim people, you know, and the Christian people.
They have 1,000 names, but they're all bad people. And as you said...
Yes, yeah, all of them same groups. All of them same groups and same mentality and the tradition.
And they're not Muslims. They just use the term Muslim, but under your religion and your Quran, these people cannot do what they're doing. So you don't even consider them Muslims.
Yes, that is why they even killed us, even treated us, and they try to kill us and try to against us. Why? Because we are real Muslims. because we believe in other religion. We believe Christian, we believe a Jewish, we believe all the religions, you know. And they only, they use the names. They are not Muslims, these people. They are they don't have any relation with Islam people and with Islam religion.
They're just terrorists.
Yeah, I hope Aaron, you and Mike and Bob are getting this, and I hope the audience is understanding this, that as Mufti is saying, is they may say they're Muslim Brotherhood, they have not one thing to do with the Muslim religion. They're murderers, they're psychopaths, they're terrible people, and they hide under the veil of being a Muslim, but really what they are is they're real bad guys. They're spawn of the devil. They're murderers, they're psychopaths, and they have nothing to do with the Muslim religion.
No, I get that very clearly. They're anarchists, and all they do is wrap themselves in the flag of whatever cause best suits them. But they don't, they're not made of the cloth, they just wrap themselves in it.
I'd like to, we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd very much like to hear from Mufti what they think about, what's their speculation? Why is the U.S. doing this? Why do we continually side with the wrong people? And what are they kind of finding through their experience at this point? You know, or what are we doing? Cause I think the Americans kind of need to know too. All right. So, we're going to ask you to go on radio silence here so we can take a little break, and we'll come back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
How little we know, how much to discover.
That's all you want to live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
That's the If You Can't Beat Him, Join Him song. Oh my!
It's more like Burn Notice than Secret Agent,
yeah,
man.
Burn Notice,
there you go. Oh my gosh, you've joined We the People Radio. We are talking to Joanne and Jimmy and Mufti. And we got Mike sitting in for Elizabeth because she's jammed up today, and Bob, of course, on the tunes. So, okay, so Mufti, what do you think the big picture is here? Why is the U.S. doing this to you guys?
We are surprised since 2011 when your administration and the president of America, Barack Obama, announced to support changing democracy, changing in Arab country as called the Arab Spring. There is no Arab Spring. There is autumn Spring. There is blood, you know. There is many, many blood air flowed in the Arab streets, you know, in Tunisia, in Egypt, in, especially in Libya. And if as you said, the links and websites, you can check it. Many, many people, more than 70,000. Now, the last number, they say about 100,000 has been killed by NATO and by extremist groups in Libya, you know. And we are surprised why President Obama and the United States supported Muslims Brotherhood, even they know the dangers for them. They hated and they killed tourists in Egypt. They killed the people in Libya. They killed your ambassador in Libya. Last report, last night, I get the report, I send it to you already. There is a report from Ministry, Interior Ministry in Libya, that is Jabhat al-Nusra, and Ansar al-Sharia, sorry, Ansar al-Sharia in Egypt, was participated in the American, the Benghazi crisis, considered American crisis in Benghazi. And they, one group from them who was participated, now he is in Tripoli, and all of them Egyptian people. Now the one guy from them who is suspected to kill from two or 3 years the tourist, German Dutch tourists in Al-Aqsa, south of Cairo. One from them was member of government in Egypt. And now you will surprise when I told you last day, Minister of Defense in Libya has been retired from government, as called government. There is no government reality, the truth in Libya. Only militias in Libya. last day, they think about that they will be what one from them as Khaled Sharif. He's a member from Al-Qaeda and for extremist group. He will be in the Minister of Defense in Libya. This is dangerous for America, not for us, you know. It's very dangerous for America. They against American future. They threatened the American people. They threatened EU countries, European countries. They collected their selfies in Mali and Algeria and in Libya. They tried to get good site and good place in Libya to train the people, to collect the weapons and missiles. And they will be ready in a few months to attack America and to attack American bureaus, offices, embassies, and they announced already this. They will kill all American embassies in Arab countries.
Oh,
they announced
lovely.
This already, not from my side, from their sides.
Did you get that,
yeah.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Yes. Reiterate that, though. Go ahead.
Okay. What he's saying is these people, these extremists that the U.S. has been supporting in Libya and Egypt and Tunisia, now in Libya they gather themselves because they have nobody to stop them. They have big training camps in Libya. They gather missiles. They gather weapons of mass destruction. They gather whatever they want. They have huge amounts of money. They're going to put, what was the guy's name, Mufti? They're going to put in the Minister of Defense. What was his name?
Khaled Sharif. Khaled Sharif.
Now, Khaled Sharif is one of the worst.
Famous.
Yeah, very famous, very nasty terrorist. They're going to put him in charge, and they put out a warning. I don't even know if it was a warning. They're telling you what they're going to do. Then in a few months they will be ready. They're going to attack every American embassy in every Arab country and kill everybody. They want no Americans in any Arab country.
Well, this sounds very clearly like a precursor to war, and with our economy dragging as it is, there would be nothing better for the economy, although it's a false economy, than war, you know. And
it's how they grow.
And here's the other side of it is these countries were self-sufficient. They didn't need us. Nothing they wanted, you know. And therefore, we couldn't control them. And it's about power and control. So if you create an anarchy, you get starvation, hunger. Now you have safe harbor, you got food, you got things that they want. But as it was, they were self-sufficient and therefore uncontrollable.
Yes, and Libya did
yes.
not allow extremists, did they, Mufti? They were not allowed in the country.
Yeah, especially you have to know, you have to know Libya, rich country, and Libyan oil productive country, you know. And now, as someone told me from inside, they carry a lot of money outside to Libya to support Al-Qaeda and extremist groups, and nearly they will convert the Mediterranean Sea area, like Taliban, exactly. Only the Libyan tribes, and Libyan agribusinesses, they will know, they will able to make control for them, only.
So
what he's saying is the tribes of Libya are the only
yes.
groups that can control, finally take control and end this mess in Libya with these extremist groups. And the tribes of Libya are working hard to do that. They ask that the outside forces stay away and allow them to do that, because they will do that. These extremist groups were never allowed in Libya under the past administration. Libya is a peaceful country, peaceful Muslims. They are not extremists.
Just have them contact Eric Holder. He'll run all the guns they need for them.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. And so how does everybody, you know, without all the details, but how does everyone communicate? You take a whole country full of people. You've got a whole bunch of them living in exile. You have some people inside the country. I would imagine the people in the country, their communications are kind of limited. How will they be able to coalesce in order to get their country back?
Yeah, many people inside supported the tribes in Libya, and many people inside supported the resistance. Many people supported the tribes leaders, tribe leaders in Libya to help them to take control for them. That is the only the way. And we try to communicate with the tribes, and we try to communicate with our people. All the people in Libya, is Muslim, 5 million people, is 5 million population. All of them Muslims and hate and against the extremists and Muslims brotherhood. Our religion is worried us about divided our groups and divided militias, you know. And our religion prevents the extremists, you know.
Let me step in. Mm-hmm. What Mufti is trying to tell you is try to communicate person to person. Then one of them may get on a cell phone or on Skype as they can, and they stay in communication with the tribal leaders who are in exile. All 5 million Libyans are bound together by their tribal culture, and they find any way possible. We know many, many times, 2 million are outside, and we know many, many times they'll travel for a day to hand carry messages and information to other parts. And Libya's a huge country. It's the 7th largest in Africa, 17th largest in the world. So that's a real daunting problem for them. But it's their country. And they're living in miserable conditions outside and inside. So, you know, they're trying to do everything to get the peaceful Libya back. And all they've ever asked is for the United States to stay the hell out of it. Please, stay out, and they will take back their country.
Let me call through your radio, call your people and your administration, please. We are calling for protect us. We are calling for no intervention from EU and from NATO and American as well. Let us call to protect us. Just we will. This is our job. We will ready, and we will able to take control for our country and to our country and our land. We are ready to take control for our cities, all cities. It is easy for us. It's our problem. The administration, American administration, support extremist groups and Muslims brotherhood. This is our problem.
No, I understand. The American people would love to stay out, but our government is too arrogant to understand. Really not needed.
And we really do. We still have not done it, but we need you guys to illuminate some of the visits that that guys like McCain and those guys have gone over there and how they've maneuvered some of this. And you have to do all that in the last moments of the program. We need to take one more quick break. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes. Got to thank our advertisers one last time here before we wrap up the program. And I'm stalling for time. How are we doing, Bob? There we go. We're cool. All right. Okay. Be back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460.
Talk about destruction. Don't you know that you can count me out?
Very appropriate.
Very.
All right, folks, you're rejoining We the People Radio. We're not going to jam you up with a lot of chit-chat here. Want to get back to Joanne and Jimmy. How do we want to wrap this up with Mufti? What do people need to know, and what should they be looking for that they're not going to hear in the news that they really need to be aware of and tell their friends?
Well, I think the first thing, Mufti, I want to talk to you a minute, and I want everybody to understand this point. There's 350 million people in the United States, and we are being completely controlled by 700 despots in Washington, D.C. If you think about Bel Hajj and all
except
these Al-Qaeda bad guys, those guys, to some degree, are in Washington, D.C., and those 700 are controlling everybody in the United States. So the problem you have is not with the people of the United States, it's with those 700 real bad, evil people in Washington, D.C. And when the people of the United States wake up and figure out that we are being destroyed by this little tiny 700 pieces of garbage in Washington, D.C., maybe we can help you.
We're 350 million strong.
Yeah, but you know, the sad part is the Mufti and all of his 2 million people are in exile because they cannot go back to their country. And the problem that they have is they live in constant fear of the United States ordering troops and NATO and everything to go back in and again blow up their country and try to thwart their efforts to go back in and bring peace back to their country. They ask us all the time, please tell your government to stop supporting these Al-Qaeda types. And of course, the only response we've really got is, unfortunately, these 700 bad people, spawn of the devil in Washington, D.C., are fully aware of what they're doing, and they continue to support those guys because that's their agenda.
But it's the 300 million people's money that they're spending to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, God bless you, Mufti. We pray for you. We try to help every way we can. But as you know, and maybe the people in the United States now know, is that, you know, we've been destroyed. We can't get a job. We can't do anything. They've done the same thing to you. Your country's destroyed. You can't get a job. Your financial capacity has been blown up. They did it with a frontal attack on you. They've done it with a soft attack on us. And Joanne and I need help. The Libyan people need help. And, you know, hopefully your audience will step forward and at least talk about it. Pray for us.
Yes.
Help us. We need help. The Libyan people need help. This is not a game that we ever wanted to get involved in. This was very serious, and these were people that needed help, and we stepped forward to try to help them. They're nice people.
What we tried to do, and Mufti knows this too, we've tried to make the American people understand that the Libyan people are real people,
yes, correct,
with hearts and souls and families and dreams and hopes. And because Libya was exiled, if you will, out of the world economy for so long, people don't understand Libya. They don't know it. It's a dark hole to them, and so they don't care.
Yes,
but you have to care about humanity because we're all tied together.
Well, the other thing too is we have to be smart enough to know who's helping and who's not. Like, I'm just looking online. I just did a little search on Mufti, and here's an article from Dr. Jerome Corsi on WorldNet Daily, a 270-page intelligence report in Arabic detailing which operatives in Libya were responsible for Ambassador Christopher Stevens' death.
So you step forward to try
to help us. Thank you.
Sorry, let me tell you something.
Yes.
Yeah, please. Only we need, that is your administration and Obama, president, is keep away from extremist groups and Al-Qaeda. We will, our ability to take control as soon as we can. Our tribe is inside already. Our people who's been exiled inside will be ready. That is only a few groups in Misrata and Tripoli, a few places, as you know, and reported in your magazine. We will able. They will not take time from us. We have the solution. We have the solution. Only let your administration away from us and NATO. You know, we against NATO from March 2011 until October 2011. 6 months we against NATO by weapons and missiles. They against us and they bombed us from the Mediterranean Sea, you know, and from Italian base and from France as well, you know. And they killed all our forces and they destroyed our countries, especially two or three beautiful cities has been burned and has been destroyed completely by NATO and American forces. This is our problem. Now we call only we need keep their selves away from Al-Qaeda and extremist groups. We are ready to clean our country. We are ready to will be back to our country. We are ready to make control of all our country. We don't have anything. Only they will keep their selves away. Obama, and EU countries, presidents, governments, sorry. Thank you a lot for give us a chance to talk and to explain the reality and truth to American people.
Well, thanks for trying to help us, even though we didn't repay you very, very nicely. Thank you for what you've done, because there are a lot of good people that really are very unhappy with what's going on. There are a lot more people that are actually aware than I thought. I'm running into people all the time who are saying, you know, I heard that. I didn't know if it was true. So all of you guys, thanks for piping up. On the website, there's a way to help Joanne and Jimmy as well. Please go to wethepeopleradio.us and check out on there. They're doing a drawing for Avalon International. So go on and help these guys and tell your friends. We help a lot of causes that actually don't get anything done. But folks that are willing to step up and stand up to all these folks
need
is
help.
Good.
They need jobs. They need their country back. They need peace. Joanne and I need help here. You know, we're
they need some traffic cops
on that lot. But those guys need help in Libya as well. You know, everybody wake up, talk about it, spread the word, pray for it.
And you know, Aaron, we're able-bodied, willing to work, educated, talented people. We would love to go to work for somebody, but we're also going to continue to spread the. We're going to continue to educate the American people because this has to stop. This kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, takeover of countries behind Al-Qaeda has to stop.
It does have to stop. And people need to be more aware, you know, that when they... It's funny, though. You know, people will watch the news and they'll say, oh, those guys lie to us all the time. Then they see something and they say, but they said... It's like, wait a minute, you just told me that it's really kind of funny. I hope people actually see themselves in that comment a little bit, because I've talked to you before and been mean to you. Joanna, Jimmy, Mufta, thank you all so very much for coming on.
Indeed, thank you.
Mike, thanks for just sitting in.
Thanks.
Thank you. God bless you all.
We look forward to getting the straight scoop from you guys often in the future. We're always here for you. Give us a call. We do return the phone call, even if somebody comes and visits us. We're still calling you back. Thanks, you guys. Have a great day. Good luck with the revolution. That seems like a weird thing to say, but God, we're pulling for you.
Indeed.
Get your country back. We want to come and visit. We had no idea it was so awesome. All right, everybody. We the People Radio. We'll be back with you again next week with some other snazzy topic. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Mike.
Hey, Mike, thanks for sitting in today. Of course, Mike from Siskiyou County. All right, and Jimmy and Joanne and Mufta, be safe. Thank you for joining us. Aaron, great job as always.
Thanks so much for having us.
Talk
to you
soon.
We'll do it again.
Goodbye, NSA.